This is Unmind with Great Cloud Michael Elliston Roshi.
The Design of Future Zen, Number 1. Future Zen. Zen of the future, not that different from the past. It is up to us. In the last Unmind segment on election year Zen, we stressed Zen's emphasis on thinking independently and acting interdependently as a kind of rule of thumb for approaching the quadrennial campaign and politics in general. Returning to the main theme running through the Unmind podcast, the intersection of design thinking and Zen, the importance of independent thought and interdependent action to the future of Zen in America and the world at large takes on an even more central role, especially in the context of Buddha's teaching of the codependent origination of all things sentient, the comprehensive model of the 12-fold chain. Physics might agree that even the insentient universe is co-arisen, despite the singularity of the Big Bang. The following thoughts were first shared in my opening remarks for the Silent Thunder Order's annual conference in 2022, themed Clarifying Interdependence. The title of my address was Future Zen, Thinking Independently, Acting Interdependently. Buddha himself was clearly an independent thinker, the original order of monks and nuns, an example of interdependent action. Choosing to relinquish their place in the social order and hierarchy of the time, with its rigid caste system. Buddha was also a problem solver of the highest order, having defined the problem of existence itself in terms of suffering, and prescribed a solution based on the real-world context, articulated as the middle way, and modeled as the Four Noble Truths, including the Eightfold Path as the plan of action. Simply stated, the propagation of genuine Soto Zen practice in America is the logical extension of that plan. But in order to realize that potential, we must adapt the design intent of the Zen mission to the cultural and technological evolution that has taken place over 2.5 millennia. Nevertheless, the basic challenge to practice has remained the same. As we chant in the Dharma opening verse, the unsurpassed, profound, and wondrous Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, accept and maintain it. May we unfold the meaning of the Tathagata's truth. Accepting that the unsurpassed Dharma is rarely realized, even under the best of circumstances, we proceed with the Zen mission with lowered expectations, commensurate with geometrically expanded distractions currently on offer. These days, Buddha would not draw the typical crowd that attends a professional sports venue, nor even smaller concert venues. He might attract a considerable following online, however. Seeing and hearing the Dharma is now often first encountered online, via searching the plethora of websites devoted to posting the teachings of Buddha and his successors, by following podcasts or downloading audiobooks, doing your research, as we say. For my generation, television may have been the medium in which one first discovered the hoofprints of the ox in the form of the Kung Fu series of the 1970s. Seeing and hearing the true Dharma, as well as accepting and maintaining it, is still, however, a low-tech enterprise, requiring only the instrument of the human body, sitting upright and still in meditation. Unfolding the meaning of it, however, is another matter altogether, a near impossible order of difficulty. In effect, it has to reveal itself to us. Meanwhile, we face a variety of conflicting interpretations of Zen from the cultural milieu and idioms of today. For example, Zen is not really or merely a social program, as many of its proponents seem to feel. Interdependent action certainly entails the recognition of suffering in the form of social injustice, and the principle of karmic retribution does not explain or justify ignoring the suffering of others. The teachings of Buddhism are meant, first and foremost, to provide a mirror to ourselves, reflecting the good, bad, and the ugly without discrimination, focusing our attention upon our own follies, foibles, and foolishness, definitely not to be held up to criticize others. Our implementation of the design of Zen to date, including the incorporation of the Atlanta Soto Zen Center, ASCC, in 1977, and the umbrella organization of the Silent Thunder Order, STO, in 2010, has been intended to establish and maintain a stable training center, along with a service organization, as we attracted affiliate centers, to facilitate the process of propagating what is called Dogen Zen, with the same intent as its 13th century founder and his successors, especially Keizan Jokin Zenji. I use the term design as this has been an intentional design process. ASCC is the home temple and training center of the STO network of affiliates, resulting from a group process of the individual efforts, financial support, and community service of hundreds of people over the past half century or so. In carrying out this design intent, we are extending the legacy and lineage of our founding teacher, Matsuoka Roshi, who would frequently remind us that, quote, Zen is always contemporary. In a book surveying the origins of Zen in America, Zen Master Hu, 2006, by James Ishmael Ford, we learn, quote, Soyu Matsuoka ranks with Nyogen Sengaki and Sokeon as one of the first teachers to make his home and life work in North America. He also seems to be the first teacher to clearly and unambiguously give Dharma transmission to Western students, close quote. I would add that these pioneers of American Zen also belong in the rarefied ranks of those ancestors who traveled great distances and crossed cultural boundaries to bring the genuine practice to another country, a whole other continent, like Bodhidharma and Dogen Zenji. Sensei, as he modestly asked us to call him, also is credited with opening the first Zen meditation hall, or Zendo, for Westerners. Needless to say, I was one of those Western students he transmitted, though he did so informally, rather than by the formal standards of Soto Shu, the headquarters in Japan. We inherit his estimable legacy and lineage, as well as those of the Kobo Sawaki Uchiyama lineage, thanks to Shohaku Okamura Roshi. We also enjoy a link to that of Shunryu Suzuki Roshi through Serene Barbara Kong Roshi, who graciously agreed to be my preceptor for my formal transmission, or Shiho ceremony, After hosting my 90-day training period at Austin Zen Center in 2007, we may be somewhat unique in the American Zen cohort, having received formal recognition from three recognized priests, including pre- and post-World War generation Japanese patriarchs, as well as an American Zen matriarch. Let us do what we can to honor our predecessors. We honor them most appropriately by thinking independently and acting interdependently. Before considering the future of Zen in America, we could do worse than to take a look at its past. In the Shobogenzo Zui Monkey, collected and compiled under the direction of one of his Dharma successors, Koen Eijo Zenji, some of Master Dogen's more offhand comments and spontaneous inspirations are recorded, apparently with little editing, much like our publications of the Kyosaku and Mokurai, the collected talks of O-sensei. Quoting, Dogen instructed 4-13. It is said in the secular world that a castle falls when people start to whisper words within its walls. It is also said that when there are two opinions in a house, not even a pen can be bought. When there is no conflict of opinions, even gold can be purchased. Even in the secular world, it is said that unity of mind is necessary for the sake of maintaining a household or protecting a castle. If unity is lacking, the house or the castle will eventually fall. Much more should monks who have left home to study under a single teacher be harmonious, like the mixture of water and milk. There is also the precept of the six ways of harmony. Do not set up individual rooms, nor practice the way separately, either physically or mentally. Our life in this monastery is like crossing the ocean on a single ship. We should have unity of mind, conduct ourselves in the same way, give advice to each other to reform each other's faults. Follow the good points of others, and practice the way single-mindedly. This is the way people have been practicing since the time of the Buddha. Close quote. Echoes of Honest Abe's A House Divided Against Itself. A footnote explains the six ways reference. Quote, the unity of the three actions, those of body, mouth, and mind, keeping the same precepts, having the same insight, and carrying on the same practice. Close quote. This same precepts, insight, and practice includes the harmony of sameness and difference, not an absolute identity. The milk and water bit reminds me of Sri Ramakrishna's expression that, like the swan, you have to be able to drink only the milk mixed with water to grasp the truth of this existence. This is the non-duality of duality. So here is the great unifying principle underlying Zen practice from the time of Buddha and Dogen down to the present. The past is prologue to the present, as is the present to the future of Zen. This may not be true of our contemporary cultural and political institutions, however, as we are witnessing. Let us turn to Zen for something more substantial to hang our hopes on for the future. We will have to leave it here for now. Be sure to join us for the next three segments of Unmind, which will round out this contemporary take on the design intent of future Zen.
Unmind is a production of the Atlanta Soto Zen Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and the Silent Thunder Order. Find us on the web at aszc.org. You can support these teachings by PayPal to donate at storder.org. Gassho.